Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next few minutes of the program, Dr. John Wiffen joins us. We're going to be talking about a new report from the Centers for Disease Control on an increase in sexually transmitted diseases. Some people say epidemic proportions, depending on what your demographic is. He's a member of the Christian Medical Association and an orthopedic surgeon in Southern California. Dr. Wiffen, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. I'm happy to be here.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, for the last 8 years, at least with regard to the administration in Washington, we've had an emphasis on abstinence. It's failed, and that's why we haven't been able to stem or control the spread of sexually transmitted diseases?
Well, the answer to that is actually fairly simple. People who really understand these diseases realize that there is only one way to reduce them, and that is abstinence. So while the culture is pushing sexual activity before marriage, abstinence is still the only answer. The only treatment or preventative for these diseases is to use a condom, and for chlamydia and gonorrhea particularly, condoms are terribly ineffective. They reduce the transmission of the disease by about 50%, but when you have so many people active and frequently active, that's not much reduction. If I gave you a gun and we're going to play Russian roulette and we'll say you have a six-shooter and I'm going to put three bullets in it, would you play that game? That's about what people are doing when they're having sex and using a condom. They're reducing the chance of getting the disease, but they're not eliminating it, and they're not reducing it enough to make it reasonable.
What diseases are we talking about, and how serious are they?
Well, in the CDC report, they actually went through a lot of different diseases, but the ones that are of most concern at the moment are chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. Chlamydia is a disease that up until the 1960s basically was not known. It was called nonspecific urethritis, and then it started becoming more common, and it is now the most common bacterial disease that you can get through sex. Gonorrhea has been around, of course, for eons, and syphilis has been around for eons as well. But the rates of chlamydia are astonishing when you look at the figures in this study. I mean, over 500 cases of chlamydia per 100,000 women, and over about 190 cases per 100,000 men. Women get it much more frequently than men, just because of the anatomy of the genital tract. There's just a larger area for the disease to set up shop in. And the added problem is that about half of the time the diseases are not recognized or treated. The symptoms often seem fairly minor, and once the disease gets well established, particularly in women, it can lead to infertility. So this is a big problem, and it simply cannot be solved by a mechanical barrier, which is what a condom is.
Part of the report from the Center for Disease Control says that there needs to be, there's almost a desperate need, urgent need, they say, for prevention efforts. And it cites the fact that almost half of those who are infected, 19 million new sexually transmitted disease infections every year, half of them fall between the ages of 15 and 24. What does that tell you? And is mere condom distribution and other efforts going to solve this problem?
Well, once again, you have to look at why this happens. And the first thing we know is that a 15-year-old girl is 10 times more likely to be infected with any given agent than a 25-year-old, and that has simply to do with maturation of her body. And so in order to prevent these diseases, we have to get young women to not have sex. It's that simple. This is not rocket science. We are dealing with simple, run-of-the-mill infectious diseases that we know how to treat, and we treat them by getting people to avoid them. There is no way to prevent it except avoidance. If once again, condom distribution basically says that society has decided that either one of two things, either that it's okay to have sex before marriage, or that you're too much of an animal to control yourself. Neither of those messages is appropriate if we're trying to eliminate this disease.
How does abstinence and the restriction of sexual activity to marriage, to the bounds of marriage, how much does this affect the spread of sexually transmitted diseases in the population in general?
Well, if we could get all women to refuse to have sex unless they were married, there would be no sexually transmitted diseases within a generation. The only ones that would still be around are the ones that the people are carrying in their bodies right now. And if they simply didn't have any more sex outside of marriage, then no new diseases would start up. Now, granted, the people that are already infected who then get married could infect their partner, their spouse, but that's that it would be greatly reduced simply by doing that. And if you then looked at the cohort of kids, say 15 to 20, if none of them, once we got to the point where none of them were having sex, then they would move through the population, and if all the kids after them did that, within the lifespan of the people who are presently 15 to 20, we would eliminate all sexually transmitted diseases.
If these diseases, especially the most serious among them, were transmitted in some other way besides sexual activity, do you think there would be such resistance to what would be the corollary to abstinence?
No, I don't think there would be. I think that when you look at the people who are talking about this and promoting what they call comprehensive sex education, they're really promoting sexual activity amongst children, and they believe in it. They think it's appropriate, proper, and the right thing. There are a number of reasons why they believe it, but basically they think sex is something that should not be reserved for marriage. I think it would be reasonable to say that a substantial subset of them believe that marriage in and of itself is a bad institution. So they're all in favor of spreading, having kids be sexually active, and they really don't care about the consequences.
Finally, then, for a young woman, and we're talking here about women because women are affected predominantly more than men in this respect, but a young woman who contracts a sexually transmitted disease at 15, one that will be with her the rest of her life, perhaps.
Well,
what does she face in her future adult life and the consequences thereof? About 1 minute to respond.
Okay. First, I'd say that about half of the sexually transmitted diseases are viral, and those are basically can be lifetime diseases. And that would fall in the categories of herpes, human papillomavirus, are the most the two most common ones of that type. Herpes can cause painful blisters throughout her life. Human papillomavirus, some forms of it cause cancer. So in either case, they will have recurring problems. They may require the use of fairly expensive drugs like acyclovir or famiclovir, which are antiviral agents that can cost in the hundreds to thousands of dollars per year to suppress the infections, but not to eliminate them. So, and if they get a bacterial disease like chlamydia or gonorrhea that's not treated, they have a substantial risk of becoming infertile. Most infertility doctors that I've talked to feel that a third of infertility is caused by sexually transmitted diseases, and they've certainly seen a great increase in the numbers of infertile women over the last 20 years.
Dr. John Wiffen is a member of the Christian Medical Association and an orthopedic surgeon in Southern California. Dr. Wiffen, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd. It was a pleasure.
By the way, we have a link posted to the Christian Medical Association at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, you'll find that link to the Christian Medical Association. When we come back from this break, we're going to be spending some time with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Look at Islam. I'm not talking about the friendly mosque down the street or the Muslim who works with you in the next cube over, westernized Islam. I'm talking about Islam where it predominates politically in terms of the population, the religious makeup of a country. Now, this is not a hard and fast rule, but by and large, where Islam predominates, the world it creates politically, socially, governmentally, industrially is almost pre-modern. Many have observed that Islam, when it's allowed to predominate religiously, reverts in many ways back to 7th century Mideast life. Can Islam modernize? We'll answer that question with Dr. Alvin Schmidt after this. Where should we go?
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Mammoths and the American Indians?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the best-selling book, The Lie.
Famous Western writer Lula Moore once wrote that the American Indians saw mammoths and only a couple of hundred years ago. Here's some of the evidence. In a report by the Smithsonian Institute on the Ponca Indians, a researcher said that hairy mammoths were seen in Nebraska by these Indians. Study also said that tales of hairy elephants, which fit the descriptions of mammoths, have been common among many Indian tribes. The researcher said that he personally obtained these accounts from the tribes of the Omaha, Dakota, and Winnebago. Now, the Indians were not referring to the bones of extinct elephants and mammoths. They knew they were hairy and described them that way. The Indians were describing live mammoths they'd actually seen. Well, evolutionists would have us believe that mammoths disappeared 6,000 to 10,000 years ago. But Genesis tells us that the elephant kind was created about 6,000 years ago, and they must have been on the ark. And so we shouldn't be surprised at all to find reports of sightings of mammoths only a couple of hundred years ago.
Was the Ice Age, over 4,000 years ago, connected somehow to the climate change we see today? For some surprising answers, request our new handbook on global warming. To get this timely study, call us with your gift of any amount today. This is one of the last days we're offering it. Call toll-free at 888-89-ANSWERS. That's 888-89-ANSWERS.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.